As of today, 4.1 million refugees have left Ukraine. They have left their homes, almost all their possessions, and most have been forced to abandon their pets. By one estimate, Ukraine was home to some 750,000 dogs and 5.5 million cats as of 2014. In the desperate rush to flee war, many of those animals were left behind by their owners, especially larger dogs. I had the pleasure of talking with someone who is doing something about this. This is Louisa Beale, and I'm here in my backyard with Tom Bates. Tom, I have heard amazing things about what you're doing. Could you give us a little background?
What I've been doing for 3 weeks in Poland and Ukraine was I traveled there on my own to volunteer with a clinic that's based in Przemyśl, Poland. And I spent a week there feeling like I wasn't doing enough. And I found another volunteer opportunity with some Polish foundations and animal rescue. And that worked out quite well. And then I met Penn Farthing of NowZad, and another person and I opened a warehouse for NowZad, and I'm currently still working with NowZad about 50% of the time that I'm in Poland. And the other 50% of the time, it is, we will do what we need to do to make things happen. It's more or less renegade.
So explain a little bit more about what NowZad is.
Well, NowZad began after by Penn Farthing. He's an ex-Royal Marine that was stationed in Afghanistan. And he brought a dog home with him. And after that, he went back to Afghanistan, and that began his the NGO as well as his foundation, NowZad. Don't ask me what it stands for. I haven't looked it up yet. But anyway, he's been doing a lot of good. He brought an Air Force transport plane full of animals back to Britain out of Afghanistan. And now we're in the Ukraine-Poland area trying to create what they need, which is completely different than Afghanistan. And as we keep finding out, the mission changes sometimes hourly.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole situation is changing so rapidly.
Right. Yes, when I first arrived in Poland, it was back probably about 4 weeks ago, there were animals coming across the border out of Ukraine into Poland to care facilities and for treatment and rehoming. But since then, it has become extremely difficult to get animals across the border for various reasons. One is there are a lot of animals in Poland at the moment that have been brought in from Ukraine. The other is that there's no rabies vaccine requirement in Ukraine, so the dogs there could be carrying rabies, and they need to be quarantined and observed for a while. So
that makes my jaw drop.
Yeah, I believe they believe in herd immunity over there, and they do in a lot of respects. I can't really speak to that. It's just what I know.
It's a public health problem.
It is, and I don't know that you'll find any Ukraine dogs back here in the United States anytime soon. I know. I've been working with some vets that are plugged in with the CDC, and I have been told that the CDC is trying to streamline a way for the Ukrainian adoptee dogs
If they have a good vaccination and quarantine program in place with the dogs from Ukraine.
Well, no, that's part of what our goal is. NowZad, the long-term goal is to set up treatment and rescue areas on the Ukraine side of the border, just over from Poland, in Romania, where we can bring the animals in for treatment immediately. There's no waiting. There's no problems. We've had people stuck at the border trying to get into Poland for 24 to 36 hours with a van full of animals. They do get the animals out, but they're not cooped in there the entire time as the people, but they have to go through whatever the government, the Polish government, has put into order at that time. And they're leaving a country that is under martial law. So there's a lot to watch out for when it comes to being a boarding car.
So where do these animals originate in Ukraine?
Everywhere.
So are they just kind of wandering around?
Yeah. The way kind of the food chain scenario is that some soul in Ukraine will see the animals and realize the animals need to have some assistance. They will set up a temporary housing for them in their own backyard. Most of the backyards, most of the yards in Ukraine that I've seen have big fences around them. So generally they're able to do that. And then making and getting food for them is the big part of the issue, which is what we've been solving for quite a while. But beyond that, then they try to find other assistance to get the animals to, especially if they're in need of medical attention. And we do focus mainly immediately on the ones that need medical attention and are able to survive their injuries. So anyway, that's kind of how we look at it. But we need to set this up on the Ukraine side, and it's going to involve some organizing, and now Zed is pretty fresh over to the situation. I've been there longer than Nowzad as far as longevity, so I'm happy to work with them, and so is everybody else involved. It's just that we are able to see other needs, and the motto is the mission changes.
Yeah.
And if it's human aid we're taking in, that's fine. We've taken in tactical gear for military, nothing illegal, no ammunition, but protective devices and such. So it's it feels really good to do it. I wake up every morning knowing that I have something to do that's going to help.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to wake up.
Oh, wow. So I've been trying to form a picture in my mind of what it looks like, because you're on the western border of Ukraine.
Correct.
And the images that we get are from eastern Ukraine, you know, with just like buildings half gone.
Right.
And, you know, all those images. And so what does it look like on the west side of Ukraine?
Well, for me, personally, I have not seen any direct impact of the war, other such as bombed out vehicles and casualties and such. I've only traveled to Lviv and a little bit further. But what I do see is a country that's prepared for war everywhere. As soon as you cross into Ukraine, the border control, everyone is armed, and they are in military uniforms. For once, being an American in a foreign place is a good thing. I've been treated quite well. It's easy for me to say I'm an American immediately, and things get a little easier from there. Don't know why, but I'm not minding it.
Yeah.
But they really hope that America becomes involved in this conflict is why.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what I see. And then once you pull out of border control, you will go through a blockade, if you will, kind of a zigzag thing that's set up in the middle of the highway that would stop any traffic from rapidly going through. It's done with huge concrete blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then welded tank barricades that are pushed to the side of the road, ready to be pulled out. They have the star spikes that they are ready to throw out in front of any vehicles. that try to get through too rapidly, and you don't know if they're going to stop you or slow you down. They're all wearing balaclavas for the most part.
Now, wait, what are those? I thought balaclava was a dessert.
That would be a baklava.
Baklava.
Yeah,
okay.
Balaclava is one of the stocking caps that you just would pull over and your eyes would be visible. Sometimes your nose. Might associate it with bank robberies.
But, okay.
Or terrorism. But they don't want their identities known. Mm-hmm. They may have Russian relatives. They may. Yeah. You just don't know. Don't take any pictures. Don't stand out. You want to treat everyone with respect. It's under martial law. Mm-hmm. Anything is, it's the Wild West, so to speak.
Right. So do you have a guide with you going through?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, I haven't had a guide. I did go on one trip with another driver that had been in Ukraine before, but that was my only experience. My experience back home was I was an owner-operator of semi-trucks and managed logistics. So I'm pretty comfortable finding my way around. And plus, Google Maps has saved us, but I still carry my paper maps and my compass, my regular old compass, just in case. Because they can shut that the cell towers down in a second. I was in Washington, D.C. on 9/11, 2001, and they shut down every form of communication in that city other than CB radios. Mm-hmm. They just hadn't thought about that. So I'm sure that they can do that now.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Once you are traveling towards the city, every village you go by that has a single road off the highway to it, it has a barricade, has armed people with a burn barrel, and there's always the Ukrainian flag that you always see. And then there's also the black and red flag, which is it's designed like the regular flag, but with two different colors. And that is the Ukrainian nationalistic flag, which indicates a little bit of a right-wing movement. And there is a such thing as Nazis everywhere, not what you would call the German Nazis, but there are fascists everywhere. And there's fascists in the Ukrainian army. You have to know that, and you have to accept that. The fascists in our army. So it's just part of the program. It's a war.
Yeah.
So, but, and then when you reach the cities, you have to go through the blockades as well. There is a curfew, 10 o'clock at night. All the lights are off except for major intersections. I did get stopped by three militiamen. One night I was in Lviv and I was out after curfew trying to get in the truck. They were serious, but my host came down and they became very friendly immediately, despite me telling them I'm an American. It wasn't working so well at that time. And then in the morning, the air raid sirens went off. And that was a little unnerving because we had no idea what was going on. But Lviv has been hit by two rocket attacks, both of them near the rail centers. That is where all the NATO supplied material comes in from Poland by the rail. So I would not be surprised to see that happening more and more. And the city is busy, but there's barricades up everywhere across sandbag barricades, across windows and such. And the other thing that's different is there are humanitarian aid vehicles everywhere, Poland and Ukraine. Like the little white ambulances type vehicles I drive with the Red Cross to semi-trucks with humanitarian aid painted across them. There's a lot of people, organizations, they're helping because it's the people that are helping Ukraine. It isn't the nation so much, other than the offensive and defensive weaponry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's certainly a sticky situation.
Yeah, they can supply material, but they can't supply boots on the ground, and that's primarily what we're doing.
Yeah. question on everybody's mind is, what can I do to help? And it seems like you are right there in the thick of things, and are really doing as much as anybody, any one person can do in that area. But what about people who are stuck at home for one reason or another?
Knowledge of what is going on and why it's going on would be number one. Just have the knowledge and be accurate about what's happening so you can draw your conclusions, because not everybody's is going to be the same, but it's good to know what's going on. Second is money, and third, money, fourth, money, to the organizations that you've checked out and are sure are doing good things there. Now Zad has been getting a lot of donations. And then there's organizations, the renegade organizations such as ourselves. I'm raising money on an Indiegogo website, but we're not a 501c company and or anything like that or organization. We take the money and we buy fuel. We might buy some coffee. I think I have to buy some repair on a front bumper when I get back. Somebody had a little accident in Ukraine this weekend. We're not accountable for it, but it's going into the tank, and it's all it's doing is helping save lives and bring humanitarian aid to anyone that we can.
Yeah.
And keep us going and going and going. We're there until it's over. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that.
Yeah, because for me, I've been hesitant because, for example, after Katrina hit, okay, I mean, money was pouring into the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And when I went down there, what I saw was a lot of new shiny vehicles and not a lot that was going directly to the people. Mm-hmm. And so that does concern me sometimes, was just throwing money out there. In Ukraine, what I've heard people say is to go to Airbnb and give money to those individuals, which seems to me to be a more direct way, but I'm not sure what you know or feel about that.
Yeah, there is a good reason to have skepticism about where your money's going, what people are doing with it. I had been there for a week and I wasn't sure who was real or who wasn't. Even the clinic I was at, it just felt like a lot of manipulation is possible out there. And there's human trafficking that I've been staying in a hotel right across from the railway station that comes in from Lviv. And the police and military presence there when I first arrived was huge. And anyone can get an orange vest. Anyone can put a red cross on their vehicle. A word of caution, if you do go there, is don't be too helpful unless you're doing it under the banner of an organization, because you can look like a human trafficker by being kind. So, that being said, there's not enough kindness going around, but there is a bunch of it there. All the big organizations are at the border at the refugee camp, UNICEF, the Sikh, the Israeli organizations are trying to reunify families that are walking across the border. It's pretty much what you could imagine from a mass exodus from a country that they want to get away from. But, however, recently there have been quite an influx of people going back. And so that is going on now as well. The money, rule number one, nothing on Facebook, unless it's a personal friend. Mm-hmm. And number two, just do your research on who you're giving your money to. I've seen a lot of animal rescue requests for money. I have not seen too many animal rescue groups. Mm-hmm. So it is falling down to, certain organizations. But again, it's best to do your homework. If you know somebody that's been there, ask them. Mm-hmm. What I do notice is, as you said, all the new vans. You see here is none of the vans are new. They are rented. They brought them over. All of them have plates from Spain, from Britain, from any place in Europe. All the countries around there. People come for the weekend to help from Berlin. The Europeans are really putting it out there, helping out as far as manpower goes. The Ukraine roads have been brutal on these volunteered vans. And so, you know, when you give money to an organization or a group like us or some of the off-the-cuff ones, you're just paying for a repair that they've incurred. I know the first couple of weeks I was there, everything that went into that van came out of my pocket, and gladly so. But you can only do that so long. And you can only rely on your friends so long until you need to get the community that is involved in this kind of activity. That's my last plea for donations, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it work. Now Zad has asked the people in Great Britain to stop bringing in physical goods for donation. We've transported a few trucks from there. It's become a logistical nightmare. And you can buy all the animal kibble you want in Poland. They'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
As they will, just about anything you need. I had an unusual experience in Ukraine where I had a van full of food that I needed to offload, and the place it was supposed to go was not accepting it. So I found this place that is a wildlife refuge facility in the heart of Kiev in Lviv. And anyway, I called. They said yes. I went over, and they were housing dogs and cats that had been brought in as victims of the war. But it was a wildlife shelter and sanctuary. They have all the local wildlife, foxes, nutria, wolves, crows, storks everywhere. The storks are walking around like they're part of the tourists. You know, they might have a hat and a bag on them and you'd think they were short people. But they have horses that have been brought in. And they have raptors, and the raptors need a certain kind of food that was processed for them in Mariupol. And that's not there any longer, as you know. And what they needed are dead, frozen baby chicks, which is a thing. Not all chicks survive, and the producers freeze them. And that's what the animals need to process their gizzards and everything properly. And they didn't have any. And I was able to find them a supplier in Poland, and I took them their first load over of dead frozen baby chicken. And now they have a supplier that's going to give it to them for free, and I need to get back and pick them up. He's in Poland, and they've worked that out. And now I'm the Colonel Sanders.
Oh, wow. That is so
satisfying. The wildlife shelter.
So satisfying to be.
Yeah, it felt good,
like,
to be
okay,
able to do
right
that.
Right from your hands, you have done something.
To be able to ask, what do you need?
Exactly.
And be able to help them out with that. Yeah. And it's only because magically people have come together in this that I work with that have magical powers. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the same powers, but I hooked up with this British expat from France. He and I are, I would say, the co-conspirators in all of this. But he manages to make anything appear that people need. And I'm able to get it to them. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah. Amazing. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into where people should give money. For me, I wouldn't even know where to start. So it seems to me that the way I would go about it is to get onto Google and Google Ukrainian relief and then see what pops up and go from there to see what their, you know, corporate background is, I suppose.
Yeah, well, possibly that is one way. Another way is to look up a worldwide animal organization that maybe you're familiar with, and or just find that organization that has got the reputation of being, and go into that. And they generally have associations with the local areas that need the help. And that is how I found the clinic I initially went to. I think it was through Save the Animals.
Okay.
I sent them a message directly, and they responded pretty quickly back to me and gave me an email address of a couple places. Yeah. And it worked out that way. And so there is that. And, like, again, whatever your passion is, like, if you, there are horse rescue, there's all kinds of different people doing things over there. And I know I worked with these Polish foundations, and I spent the entire time there asking them for information about their foundations, and they're so busy. I just never really got a solid answer on that. And again, you could look up Polish animal rescue groups as well, or there's some from Romania, all the bordering countries. But it's mostly happening out of the western side in there.
Yeah, well, the eastern side is kind of on fire.
Yeah, it is. We do have people making trips over there, bringing people and their animals out. We had Penn Farthing and one of our vets were in Kiev, and they were accidentally, not forced, but they helped load body bags off the freeway. So we do touch it.
I would
imagine this next 4 weeks for me is going to be a lot different than the first 3 weeks. So,
do you have email connection while you're there? So you can send me reports?
Oh, absolutely. What would we do without this technology?
Oh,
my Google Translate has gotten me through everything, including a parking ticket in Poland. But it was good to know what I was saying.
Yeah.
What they were saying. But I use it all the time, and everyone is used to some American stuffing this device in their face.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It really does help a lot. That is number one. And a battery pack for your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that in case, just for charging up. But yeah, I pay for a $10 a day plan from Verizon that gives me unlimited data.
$10 a day?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, there are cheaper plans, but it's limited, and I don't want to take the time to worry about what I'm needing to do. And 90% of all my data usage is mapping.
Yeah.
But I still, like I said, I carry my paper maps, and I'm not afraid to use them.
Yeah. So if someone sends you a $20 donation, it's good for 2 days of your internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, I'll have that link at the end.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I do have some other links. Maybe you would like to have of some associates I was with. They were interviewed by King 5 News, and the other one was from Canada, interviewed by CBC, and they have pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, doesn't do radio much good.
Yeah, right.
That's okay.
Yeah, I appreciate your contribution to us as well. It didn't go unnoticed.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
A couple stickers are going to wait for you to be delivered here soon.
But it's easy to do. You know, you go online and you click a button and it's like, how much change do you have in your pocket? There you go.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, I really don't like to ask for money, but I don't mind asking for money now.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, again, for me, it's a way to get resources directly to the source.
Yes.
And it's not going to go through any administrative.
It's not. It's slow. I can't believe how slow the NGO is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't know when you're giving your money. There is a lot of trust involved, I have to say that. And there's not a lot of people to trust out there these days. There are, and I have found quite a few of them in Poland. The Polish people, too, have been very helpful. Some of them are tired of seeing all the white vans with red crosses running around town. But I think that war and suffering has been in the DNA of the people of that area for centuries. So they have quite a bit of empathy for their neighbors.
Right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add at this point? Or at any point?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to say that for myself is that I realize not everybody can do this, and that there's a lot of people that wish they could, and I'm sorry you can't. I just happened that the stars aligned for me. I realized I could do something because I can take an airplane and a train to the war.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm at that age where I should be doing this stuff, not young people. Mm-hmm. Although I do work with a lot of young people. And on that note, we try to keep them all in Poland. Mm-hmm. It's the old dudes that are doing the driving in Ukraine for the most part. The hotel, again, it's more like a dormitory room with a bathroom in it, mm-hmm. which is pretty standard over there. Prices, it's inexpensive, which is a good thing, except for fuel.
Yes, fuel's probably worse than it is higher than here.
Yeah, well, they do. We have some fuel-efficient diesel vehicles that get very good mileage. And diesel is the most violent fuel there, but there is fuel restrictions in Ukraine, and the fuel quality is always a worry. That Indiegogo site will be up for another 20 some odd days, and while that's up, I will be sure to check in, and I will send updates on that, see what happens. Yeah. I can't get access to the money until 15 days after I'm back, but I'll send it off.
Back there? Or back here?
Really? Yeah, after the campaigns, I mean, our fundraising.
Oh, okay, campaign.
Not the war.
Not the war.
Yeah, if the war's not over when my campaign's over, I'll start another one.
Yeah.
Not war.
So if we donate now, then you'll be able to get it in 2 weeks. Is that what you're saying?
No, not until the campaign is over. My fundraising, it's over in 25 days.
Oh, I see.
But that's
okay.
You know, I'm fronting the money.
Sure.
Myself, sure. And then I'll prepay that.
Okay.
That's how it works, or I'll get money from somebody over there.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people that have donated to other organizations that are associated with us. Ukrainian War Animals Relief Fund. This, my friend Dan Fund, it's a GoFundMe.
Okay.
I would fund him because I get some of his money sometimes.
Okay. Because what I'll do is I'll put all of this stuff up.
I'll send you all the good donations.
Perfect.
Links. I can do that for you.
Yeah.
And you can put them up and say, without a doubt, the money is going
good
to a good place.
Because what I'll do is I will put them up at the end of this. And then we can also put them up on our blog.
Okay.
I am curious. You say, you know, the animals, and people think dogs and cats, maybe cats, mostly dogs. But you were talking about all sorts of other species that have been rescued and coming out of Ukraine.
Yeah. The wild animals as well. There's a lot of wolves in Ukraine, and they have a system of taking care of rescued wolves that kind of fascinating. It all ends up with the wolves in a prison working with the prisoners and the guards because it seems to benefit the wolves the most. And again, I'm repeating what I've been told by the person that manages the wildlife place. And a lot of times the wolves are blind in one eye and because it fights. And they just seem to do better in the prisons. But sometimes the wolves in the prisons come back to the wildlife rehabilitation centers because they're not doing well. So there's some relationship there that I know very little about, but it was fascinating to hear Nada tell me about it. And yeah, there's at the first place that clinic I was at, there's a moose. I don't know how the moose got there, but there's a moose in their facility and a lot of dogs and not as many cats, but
cats can be tricky.
Yeah, well, cats can go get carried out.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of elderly Ukrainian women with little cat carriers. Mm-hmm. And I helped a few aboard buses because, you know, they have got their hands full.
Sure.
Well, say hi to the kitty. What other animals? Well, they had foxes there as well, but they were mainly focused on the dogs and cats.
It seems like the wildlife would come because they've been injured in some bombing or am I right to assume that?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's true. And they're all traumatized for the most part, but to loud noises and quick movement. But they all just want to be safe. It's amazing how resilient animals are. We had this one clinic that is set up by some German folks. I know that they're doing basically what we want to do with NowZed. They opened a little clinic on the other side of Ukraine. In the western side, and I went there and they had some injured animals in there, and they brought in one that had lost both its rear legs. Its bones were still protruding out, but its tail was wagging, and it wants to survive. That's half the battle. And then we've had the puppies brought in, which amazingly, they're all fine and adorable and got to have a puppy moment with them.
That sounds pretty healing.
Yeah. And then it takes a lot of volunteers to walk the dogs. Mm-hmm. You have to have the dogs walked every day, morning and night.
Sure.
And when a place has 200 dogs in it, you need a lot of people there to walk. That is when, no matter who you are, you can come and volunteer and just walk the dogs. Mm-hmm. Get them out.
Yeah.
Poop pickup required, but dog lovers know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Dog people.
So do you see a lot of, this is not a veterinary term, but post-traumatic stress disorder. Especially the dogs. Cats can kind of roll with things, but dogs can certainly have such bad experiences that they're almost crippled emotionally.
Severe cases, yeah. I've seen a couple of them where they just don't even want to get out of their kennel. Mm-hmm. They're cowering in the back, and generally, if you're a male, they're not going to be happy mm-hmm. with you because the males are doing all the bad things. Mm-hmm. And if you have a hat on you, it might even be worse. But generally, they just want to have something to eat, have some loving, go for a walk, be happy.
Because it seems to me, I mean, because I've done behavior work with, you know, mm-hmm. traumatized dogs in particular. And for me, if they're eating, that's the foot in the door.
Right.
Because then you can pair that with other things that you mm-hmm. want them to be.
They don't want to eat. That's a big sign.
That's a huge sign. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in those circumstances?
If they're not eating?
If they're not eating.
Not for me to decide or even ponder on. We have veterinarians that take care of that.
Okay, good.
We don't do any field triage, anything like that, unless when there are dogs coming in, vet techs go.
Okay.
But I don't know how that will go. When I return to Ukraine, I probably will spend most of my time retrieving animals and delivering food outside of Kiev, Lviv, mm-hmm. towards the east and bringing them back to Lviv. Mm-hmm. And whatever is needed. I know Poland has just okayed 10,000 Ukrainian soldiers to come into the country for medical treatment. So, for all I know, I could be bringing some minorly wounded soldiers mm-hmm. back to mm-hmm. Poland. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. You kind of, you know, take what comes.
Right. We can operate within Ukraine. We just have to be courteous mm-hmm. and, above all, obvious as to what we are doing.
Yeah.
You don't want to draw the eye, suspicious eye, of anyone. The two older guys, I won't call myself elderly, but myself, I have gray hair and a gray beard, and an associate of mine from California that was in the van with me did too, and we pulled up to the Ukrainian border guard, and he just got the biggest grin on his face. He said, "You're Americans." He knew. He just flagged us on.
Yeah. We all know that it's eastern Ukraine that has been getting the hammering.
Right.
What about the south? Well, of course, north is Russia, but the south, is that the border of Romania?
Yeah. Moldova.
Okay.
And Romania. Moldova's next on Putin's hit list. There's mm-hmm. already 1,000... So, Russian troops in the Tristiana area, right on the border of Ukraine, and they're trying to connect that with what's going on in the east, and that means taking Odessa mm-hmm. and cutting off Ukraine from the water. And if they achieve that, mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. Moldova doesn't belong to NATO or the EU mm-hmm. either. They have strong trading partner in Romania, and in their constitution, I believe, they do not allow foreign soldiers on their soil, which makes the Russian troops in the Tristiana area trespassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, there's a lot of Russian speaking people in that area, and that's mm-hmm. what's going on in Donbass and Crimea. Mm-hmm. Knowing about that is good to know. There's a lot of Russian ethnic folks in those areas. And it's not for me to decide, or I can formulate an opinion. I'm just there to lend a hand, humanitarian hand, to those that need it.
Yeah.
However, I doubt if I'd lend a helping hand to a Russian soldier.
So, as you mentioned earlier on, you know, three big things, okay? Educate yourself about the whole situation that's going on. Know your geography, okay? What is where,
you know? Right.
What's happening where? What's
Agreed.
In, okay. And then two is give money, and three is give money.
Yeah. Fortunately, in cases like this, money buys you what you need.
Well, it buys food.
Yeah.
It buys people travel. Need, it buys connection.
Yeah. Traveling certainly is an expense. glad to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. I had an occasionally mm-hmm. in the travels, good things happen.
Yeah.
Such as on my return from Poland this last time, our connection in Amsterdam, well, we didn't make it and it was caused by the airlines. Mm-hmm. So we had a night in Amsterdam on the airline. They put us up in a nice hotel, fed us a nice meal. We had time to go into Amsterdam. I was with a friend coming back and had a great time. Next morning, we get up, go to the airport, board the Airbus 330-900 super big jet. And the only people on the jet were the people that missed the flight connection the day before. Oh. There were only 12 of them.
Oh, wow.
I know it sounds like a waste, but I'm sure they had to move the equipment and the crew.
Sure.
But it was great. I had my own bed all the way back. So there are good things that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad to share my experiences.
Okay. Well, there will be links at the end of this, and we'll put links to all these resources on our blog, too.
Thank you for doing that. And thanks to all your listeners out there that are interested enough in this to want to do something.
Yeah.
We're going to give you some opportunities. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm hoping to get some updates as you travel. And
yeah, I will. Absolutely, I will. Likewise, feel free to send me a question or something. If you hadn't heard, I'm on WhatsApp as well, but I get emails. And I have Wi-Fi at the hotels.
Thank you so much.
I will look forward to sharing with you the updates that I get from Tom. In the meantime, here are some ways you can help. If you search for Ukrainian War Animals Relief Fund, you will find Dan Fine's page. If you mention Tom Bates, he will get a piece of that donation. You will find Tom's site by searching Tom Bates Indiegogo. The other animal relief organization that Tom mentioned is NOWZAD. You can go to NOWZAD.com. Thank you for listening.